across the country and around the world.
We are listening now to
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, Insights and Solutions to Some of America's Most Troubling Societal Problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr., who has spent decades promoting solutions to some of the most challenging problems facing our nation today. Now, here's your host, Bob Woodson.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bob Woodson, and we're pleased that you are joining us today for The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about the increasingly serious problem of youth violence. Our show today will address the problem of how well-intended policies can put children at peril. Our first guest today is Tory Barrett. He is the pastor and founder of the CLEO Community Family Life Center in Chicago. The CLEO Community Center is a nonprofit organization and facility dedicated to strengthening families and providing a safe haven through education, training, support, and fun for the people of all ages in Washington Park community. Our second guest, who will join us shortly, is Omar Jawa, founder of Vision Regeneration in Dallas, Texas, who has pioneered some of the most unique ways of penetrating the youth culture and transforming some of the most hardcore youth predators into ambassadors of peace. Jawa is the public is in 13 public and middle schools and high schools in Dallas, Texas. Welcome, Tory. Can you give our listeners more of your background and something about the organization and your personal motivation for getting involved in helping children, particularly children who they call at risk, children who are on the edge? Share something with our listeners.
Sure. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on the call today. I appreciate it. Well, basically, my background is in social work. So I did my undergrad at Louisiana State University and got a bachelor's in sociology. And then coming out of school, instead of going right to work on my master's, I wanted to jump right into the arena of social service to help address some of these problems that we've been having. And so I work with DCFS wards, wards of the state, young boys and girls who between the ages of 13 and 18 fell victim because of mostly their parents and the lack of parental support and educational support, found themselves incarcerated and became wards of the state. And so my job was to make sure that by the time they turned 18, they would have the necessary skills that they needed to become emancipated from the state. So I helped them get apartments, helped them budget their funds, helped show them how to eat, how to fill out job applications. And so I really had a desire to work with that community. Well, as we all know, that social service work, although it's rewarding spiritually and fulfilling, life goals, financially it wasn't that rewarding. And me being a young man with a young wife, went out into the corporate America and went in and found a job and left the social service arena altogether. But about in 2006, the calling was on me very strong to come back into the community. We started seeing in Chicago in particular all the public school violence that was going on. Something had to be done. And all of the programs that people had, they were more, the marches and the vigil, the nighttime prayer vigils and different things like that wasn't working. And me being in that type of background knew that there had to be a different way that we could address the problem. And so we started rehabbing a building that the church next door to us owned, and decided to open up a social service center to address that violence issue. Halfway through the rehab, my younger sister, who was also working with me on that project, became a victim of violence herself. She was actually murdered by an ex-boyfriend. And it at the time, it could have stopped me from carrying out that mission, but it made me even work harder to open up a facility so we can teach these young boys and these young girls that they don't have to grow up the way that they have been all their lives. And so in January 2008, we went ahead and we opened the community center, and we named it after my sister in her honor, which is called CLEO, and it also stands for an acronym, which means keep loving each other. And basically at CLEO, we take the children at any age, so they can be 2 years old all the way up until they're 23, 24, and we don't charge for any of our services. We just provide a safe haven for children to come to get off the streets during those high crime hours. So while most centers are closing their doors at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you know, we're open in the evening. We provide food and family nights during the evening so that the children can bring their parents in to also get their parents off the street and get them educated as well. And so recently, though, after the beating death of Darion Albert at Finger High School last year, we've been trying to work with the Chicago Public School System to bring the violence-free zone to Chicago. I had the privilege of touring the area in Richton, Virginia, and also went up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to see the program firsthand and read some of the studies that Baylor University did on it, and thought that in order for Chicago to turn their school system around, that this program is a must. One of the things that Chicago has done to try to turn the schools around is that they've done this initiative called School Turnaround. So they come in, they fire the teachers, they fire the principals, they fire the social workers, they fire the janitors, the lunchroom workers, and then they bring in all the new administrative staff, and they bring you know, the children back and see if just changing the mindset would help. Well, it helps a little bit with the academics performance, but the behavioral challenges are still there because you know, the professionals aren't able to relate to the children. And so I think that's one of the downfalls of that program. And then most recently what's happened in Chicago is that they've closed a series of schools, middle schools and high schools, and they have about seven more high school on target to be closed within the next school term. And what that does is more difficult than the turnaround. At least with the turnaround, you're keeping the children in one population. But when schools close, you now have to bus children from different neighborhoods to new schools. And what that does is bring the different rival gangs into the school system as opposed to keeping them in their own area. And so with that being said, it doesn't matter what type of teacher you have in there. They can't relate to those different gangbangers and those different drug dealers and try to maintain the peace in that school. And so that's why now more than ever, we really need to get the violence-free zone program here to Chicago. And with the RFP being released by Chicago Public Schools in the near future, I think we have a good chance of doing that.
But, Tori, you said something that that I find intriguing that I found throughout the country, and that is a lot of these social reformers spend a lot of money on different schemes that are supposed to produce change and improvement in education. You mentioned turnaround. Okay, let's just take the whole staff out and replace them. And then I believe there was one large school that the Ford Foundation and Gates at the Sears Tower. What is the name of that school? They took over the Sears, the old Sears building in Chicago.
Right. The Willis Tower is what it's now called. And the name of the school itself does escape me. I apologize. But I am very familiar with what took place there.
And that was supposed to have been a mecca for social and education reform. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And the Ford Foundation, the superintendent of schools was there, and Bill Gates put in millions of dollars, and they had all kinds of fascinating programs. But again, what they ignored is the culture of civil disobedience, of civil disorder that is rampant in the schools and in these communities. They never had a strategy for dealing with the violence or these relationships, and as a consequence, you have chaos in the communities, no matter how well-intended the schools. And what my question to you, in the presence of such a violent atmosphere, how can you determine which teachers are competent and which are not?
And I think that's an excellent question, and I don't think you can. And I think one of the things that we're seeing, Bob, is that what they're failing to do is to connect with the worst offenders. With the programs that they're doing, we have a program in Chicago called After School Matters. It's a program that Maggie Daly, the wife of Mayor Daly, has instituted. And it's an excellent program. Can't take anything away from the program. It deals mostly with the arts and culture. But the problem that you have with a program like that is only the ones that are interested in arts and culture get involved in After School Matters. So the ones that are, you know, the gangbangers, the drug dealers, the ones that's causing 90% of the problems, they don't want to be in that program. So we need an alternative that we can connect with them on their level. And those are some of the things that CLEO is doing to get involved with those youth that cause most of the problems.
And another reality that we face is that kids are required to come to school by law. And if right. they don't come to school, then their parents can be fined because the children are truants. So, but if a child does come to school, like Darian's, the young 16-year-old Darian Albert, who was beaten to death, my understanding, he was an honor student. He wasn't a gangbanger. He wasn't involved in the conflict, but he was beaten to death with 2x4s in the street. So even kids who are not troubled themselves are in harm's way coming into these school environments. And so that, in other words, the kids who are most affiliated with gangs find it safer to be in school. And those who are not affiliated and who are afraid to come to school can be found guilty of truancy. And if they do come to school, you have to either fall victim to being a truant or you can be a victim of violence. Those are some very limited options. How do you all deal with that? I mean, does that observation true in Chicago?
That observation is true in Chicago. And right now, they do not have a program in place to deal with it. And I think that's why you're seeing this school year alone being one of the highest school year with violent incidents inside the school system. And I think you bring up an excellent point with Darian Albert. This tells you how misconnected we are with that population. And CLEO's response to that and dealing with those individual, those at-risk youth, we found out that they have a different story than what the media told, even about that incident. And I won't go into what that story is, but again, that shows you that if you connect with these children on a level that they can understand, you know, get involved in things that they're interested in doing, not things that you think they're interested in doing. You'll be able to relate to them a lot better and thus change their mindset of what it means to be successful. Because right now, a lot of them believe that if, you know, if they can stack a couple of grand from hustling, then they're successful. So they almost use school as a way to move their product. But if you don't have anyone there who can relate with them, connect with them, and show them that there is a different route, then you'll see that cycle continue to perpetuate.
I'm reading an article from the Myrtle Reports in Chicago where you're pictured and you're quoted as talking about when Chicago school system decides to close 14 schools, do they ever seek the counsel and advice of people like yourself who understand the implications for closing certain schools and what the consequence is going to be for mixing these gangs? Do they ever sit with community leaders as a part of the team of advisors when these decisions are made?
Well, I'm not going to say no, but the ones that they do sit with aren't the ones that have the connection to the kids. So they're sitting with the wrong ones if they are sitting with those individuals. And, you know, that organization reached out to CLEO because when they started talking to the children on the street and asking about the community leaders who are opposed to these school closing, the kids sent them to CLEO. We didn't reach out to the media. They actually found us because of the work that we're doing with the young people. And I think that's vitally important, that if the school system had a group, some type of advisory council that meet with local leaders, they would be able to see that some of these decisions that they're making are harming the individual children rather than helping those children.
Well, that's the kind of disconnect that we have found not only in Chicago, but in Washington, D.C., throughout the country, that they will pay educational advisors to come in from distant cities to sit with the superintendent and school boards to advise them on, but they look at it strictly in terms of social and economic issues. They don't look at the demographic impact on the community. I remember sitting down with some ex-gang members with a map of the district and said that the schools in Washington are going to close six schools. What implications is that going to have? And they put little stars on each. They say, well, if you close Kelly Miller and open Ron Brown, that means those kids are going to have to walk through 34th Street Crew. Then they're going to have to walk through the Barron Street Crew. And then they're going to. So they would tell you exactly what are the perils facing children who are compelled to go to these other schools.
That's right.
And it just amazed me that the school planners wouldn't think about sitting down with the people who are suffering the consequence of these decisions and seeking their advice. But I guess in one sense, it is not their children who are in jeopardy. And maybe if they were, they would be more more inclined to seek the advice of real experts. And I consider people like you, Tory, to be the real experts, the people who are on the ground, the people that the kids turn to in times of crisis and in trouble. That is how at least we define legitimate community leaders. Who do the kids who are in crisis turn to when they're in trouble and in crisis?
That's right. That's right. And I think, Bob, that's why I applaud you and the Center for Neighborhood Enterprises for what you guys are trying to accomplish. If we can't fight that battle here locally, we can fight it, but if we can't win the battle locally, I think it's important the work that you all are doing on a national level dealing with the U.S. Department of Education, because if the U.S. Department of Education can see the vision, then they can, you know, reach down to the local areas and say, hey, this is working in other areas, so we're mandating now that you do this in Chicago and other places throughout the country. Because at some point, we're going to have to start looking at the statistics, what works and what doesn't work. And those programs that have a proven track record for success are the ones that we need to start pushing.
Because you have the trust and confidence of the kids, and they will share insights and information about trouble spots and troubled individuals that enables you to intervene. Am I right?
That's right. Absolutely right. They come to us prior to the fight even going down. And so we're able to even, stop fights before they happen. We're able to notify the police department of potential bloodbaths that are going to happen. We're able to do different things like that because the kids trust us and know that we have their best interest at heart, not ours. And so that, you know, they're able to reach out to us during those evening times when they go home and you know, nobody's home to receive them. They can't get in the house. So as opposed to, you know, breaking in or going over to a friend's house, they're able to come back to the center and have a conversation with one of our staff.
Good. We've been talking about youth violence today with Chicago pastor and youth program activist Tory Barrett. And we'll be joined by Omar Jawa, Vision Regeneration in Dallas, Texas. We'll return in a moment. I'm Bob Woodson. You're listening to The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.